I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. Today on the show, I am going to talk to Mike and Paul Harney of Harney & Sons Tea Company. They're a family-owned tea company that travels the world to find amazing blends of tea using several different herbs and spices. And recently, they moved into the realm of hemp and have started incorporating hemp into their tea lines in several different products. They are currently growing their own hemp and doing it right. So stick around for that. But first, I want to talk about masks for a minute. This summer has been one of the strangest ones I can remember in my life. I'm a comic book nerd, and I also host a podcast called the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. So normally at this time, I would be going to blockbuster summer comic book nerd movies and attending comic book conventions, but all of that is on hold because of COVID-19. And as much as a lot of people want us to return to normalcy, there's still a problem, a huge problem. And one of the best things that we can be doing right now is wearing a mask in public to prevent further spread of COVID-19. Now you're saying, Matt, what does this have to do with hemp? That part's coming. But first, I just want to stress the fact that yes, there was some conflicting information at first from the CDC, and we weren't really sure if masks helped or not. We quickly learned more about the disease, and now we know wearing a mask absolutely helps. This is not a political statement, and do not make it political because that's not what this is about. We now know that wearing a mask absolutely reduces the chances of both you catching and spreading COVID-19. So do the responsible thing and wear a mask when in public. What does this have to do with hemp? I'm glad you asked. There are people making hemp masks, 100% organic hemp masks out there. And I'll have a link to a story that we have on ministryofhemp.com all about it. It's a great way to both support hemp farmers and do the responsible thing as a citizen, not as a political statement, but as a citizen that cares about other American citizens and help stop the spread of COVID-19. If you're wearing any kind of mask, you're doing the right thing. But if you're a hemp advocate like me, and if you're listening to the show, you probably are, buying a hemp fabric mask is a great way to support hemp farmers, hemp fabric producers, and make a statement that you're not only doing your best to take care of those around you, but you're also making a conscious decision to support responsibly grown hemp as an alternative to cotton, polyester, and plastics that go into other fabrics. The truth is, until we have a vaccination, we're going to be living with this. And wearing a mask is the easiest and simplest and most effective way that you can make a difference while we wait for a vaccine for this horrible disease. My conversation today is with Mike and Paul Harney of Harney & Sons Tea Company. And full disclosure here, we already did this interview once and something happened with my computer and I ended up losing the whole interview. So we had to do it again. And we're going to joke about it during the interview. So I just figured why not come out and let you guys know. Stuff happens, right? I had a great time talking to these guys and you'll hear it. We laughed through pretty much the whole thing. I caught up with them both after a day where they had been planting more hemp on their mother's property in Connecticut, and that's where we start off talking. They were a riot to talk to, and I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did talking to them. Here's my conversation with Mike and Paul Harney. So today you were at Mom's place in Connecticut, from what I understand, with a backhoe, tearing up some soil that has not been turned over for 100,000 years.
Yes, we were. It was a little, I don't think it's technically, it's hard pan. I think it's, I don't know what it is, but.
It doesn't look like anything because it was a doctor's house. So it wasn't probably a working farm back in the day. I mean, maybe it was.
Right.
But in 1830, they put the doctor started to assemble it. And so it's in the middle of town. So doctor, lawyer, whatever, you know, so it's been, it was a bookstore when our parents bought it.
Okay. How much land does she have out there?
I think this part of it's about an acre. I mean, she's probably got like 3 acres, I think.
Okay. And she said, yeah, my boys are getting into hemp for their tea company. They can,
why not? Why not?
Absolutely plant here and see what happens.
We have a Connecticut, sorry, we have a New York license and we also have the processing license. So I said, well, why don't we get a Connecticut license, sort of a CYA, right?
Fair enough. Was it easier or was it harder or the same as getting the
actually, it was
license?
More work. Yeah. I had to go get fingerprinted. And,
oh, you're kidding me.
New York State's pretty mellow.
So they want to make sure you're a felon. You're not a felon or something before you grow hemp.
That's what, yeah, they had to go down to the central headquarters for the state and give my left, you know what. It was a little bit more work. They say Massachusetts are the biggest pains. We have a friend that I guess he qualifies as a former employee.
Yeah,
that he was when they came in time for the harvest, they came out and looked. He only had 7 plants. He had to test each plant separately.
7 of them.
Yeah, 7 plants. You're like, this is crazy.
So if you had 700.
That's what I mean. So you go like,
I don't know what they did. If you did have 700, right, I guess you had to do 7.
So we had 7,000 last year. So, I mean, you know, you go like,
good Lord.
State of New York is a little bit more mellow. We'll see how it works out this year.
So how many plants are we planting in mom's place?
We're going to only plant about 350.
Okay. And it's going to be the same species that you're growing in New York right now.
Painted Lady. Yep.
Painted Lady.
Well, with the state, we had to commit over there. That's the other thing that's a little more complicated. So, but we're thinking maybe getting more plants. So then we got to sort of work the bureaucracy a little bit.
So when they say, well, we need to know what kind you're planting, and you look at them and you say Painted Lady, do they have like sort of like a dog face reaction? Like, or do they go, oh yeah, okay, and just write it down?
They sort of know. And we have to send in the seed bag.
Really? Are they like
and
testing?
The seed bag has to be approved. So I just remembered that. So that's what we have to get set while we get the seed bag. And it's got to have a little stamp on it from been approved by somebody.
What are they going to do with the seed bag? Do they literally just want to see the stamp? Or are they putting these seeds under a microscope?
Yeah, well, that's every state. I mean, the same federal rules are the same, right?
Right.
But every state interprets them a little bit differently.
Yep.
And that's the way Connecticut has interpreted them. We just heard how New York State, Massachusetts interpreted. And then New York State sort of interpreted. It's like, all's cool.
Good Lord. So you've got 350 there. How many plants are you growing right now in New York?
A little over like 2,800, I think.
And all of this goes to the hemp division.
Yep.
And so tell me about that. Let's start real quick. I'm going to act like we didn't already have this talk, and I'm surprised and I don't know anything about you, but I'll edit this part out, obviously. Tell me about how this starts. Let's start with Harney and Sons, the tea company. This is right. Old school.
We can start with Harney and Sons.
Old school family tea company. Everybody on the about page has the same last name. I couldn't help but notice.
Well, we're from Appalachia.
Use that joke on me last time too, and it still works.
I use that the last time?
Yeah, it still works.
That's good, man. That's good.
You know what? I'm going to leave all this in so they know that we talked before and we're like friendly now, because it sounds like this is an even better interview as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. I use the same joke.
You did.
That's good. How old is the tea company? How long have you guys been around?
Oh, our father started it in 1883? No, 1983.
It's like, you're not that old. I can see.
And then he got me to come in after a couple of years, and he got Paul to come in a couple of years later. Paul was a Marine officer, so he saluted Paul, my baby brother. And we started, we've been doing tea, and we still continue to do tea. It does pay for the lights above us and the computer screen to work and all that sort of stuff. But we did, 2018, we started the hemp division.
Yep.
So what makes two guys that are firmly entrenched in the tea business, and from what I can tell, kind of kicking ass, what makes you decide, well, we need to branch out? We want to mess with this hemp stuff. Where did that come in?
Well, we had a suggestion from a family friend that had been sort of saying, hey, CBD is something maybe you guys should think about. And that was in the summer of 2018. And the first license that was available in the state of New York was for growing. And we were sort of in a farming area.
Right.
And there's a field, there's a fallow field as part of our land here.
You can't grow tea there, obviously.
Yeah, and you can't grow tea. So it's you know, it was appealing to sort of we go to origin, we go all over the world and
origin?
See where tea is grown, tea plantations, all that sort of stuff. So we go to these places, and this was a chance for us to bring the origin home.
Fair enough. So
right in our hands.
How does it
go from the roots up?
How does it go from traveling all over, looking these leaves, understanding tea mixes and stuff like that, to growing your own hemp? You just threw it in the ground and went for it, or did you watch a YouTube video?
We threw it in the ground and went for it. Yeah, we didn't know a lot.
Yeah, we asked somebody who knew a little bit more than us, but I think she was only one page ahead of us, frankly. you know, because and it was an expensive textbook, just like in college.
Of course, of course. An expensive one page anyway, so.
Yes, yes.
But that's, sometimes that's good, too.
Yeah, we did that, and we learned a lot. We learned a lot. I mean, we said we planted it all in one day, so that was a hot day in July, July 8th.
That was early July, and I think we have about on a shift, somewhere around 150, 160 people.
And you just grabbed them and said,
my mother,
everybody out, we're planting. Let's go. Put on your gloves. Hope you didn't wear nice clothes today.
Everybody went out there and popped some in the ground. And I think we didn't even start early. We started at 10. And I think by 6 p.m. we were done.
So why July?
I did. My 3-year-old daughter. So she's out there this year. She was 2 then. So now she's 3. And my 13-year-old son, they've been hitting it every day. So
New York has more favorable child labor laws too, is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's great. That's excellent. We could use those
below
here.
the law that they could affect them. Right.
Yes.
So I'm from Nebraska.
She sort of just sits around and talks to people. And I think she was putting in the little, what type of tea plant or what type of hemp plant it is.
She puts in the card. She puts in the stick.
That's an important job though. I mean, come on.
Well, that's why we got somebody with little brains doing it.
There you go. Now, I'm from Nebraska. I'm not a farmer, but it seems like July is awfully late to plant. Why July?
Well, as we said, the lady was one page ahead of us.
Gotcha.
It was not perfect.
It was not really that we weren't farmers either, but we had identified, we asked that same question.
Right.
But there was no easy, well, you know, it's a difficult business, this hemp growing stuff. You know, the idea is that you got to get the plant, you got to grow the plant, so you got to get the put the money down for the seed. This is a little bit like a Nebraska story.
Sure.
And then you don't get paid for that stuff for actually a year, year and a half later. So,
yeah. You
know, I mean, money is tight. So it's a difficult business.
So yeah, she had actually grown it from seed, all the plants.
Right.
So she had to wait until,
had to get the money to buy the seed, and it's a buck a seed or whatever, which is, turns out, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're getting, 30,000 plants, it's, you got to have the scratch for that.
And sure.
Then grow.
And then you got to have room to grow them and get them going before you can drop them in the ground.
Yeah, all that.
Before you can get them in the ground. So, yeah, last year we were a little further behind this year. So
this year, much better.
This year, much better. Absolutely.
We learned.
We learned a little bit. We spread them out a little bit more. So we're growing a little less plants, but we're hoping that
better production.
We're going to get a little better production out of it.
Did you get them from the same place, or did you say, no, we're not using that. We're going to use something else for this.
No, we went somewhere else. Yep.
Okay. But the same species, like the same type?
Oh, different species.
Different species.
Too. Last year it was cherry wine. This year, you know, you got that painted lady.
Okay. So tell me,
San Francisco. I'm not sure what.
Why do we make that choice? Is that better for the tea or is that better for the CBD? Or both?
Or neither.
Or neither.
It's supposedly it's more related to what's going to grow the best up here.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
We had a fungus problem last year. Not a fungus problem, a mold, a fungus problem. Yeah. Fungus. Yeah. Fungus. Our toenails. What happened was it came in off the woods. And so we got it from a place that was drier in our opinion. So there was a guy that's that just got into business in Connecticut. So he's less than 10 miles from here. So we think he's acclimated. He's chosen plants that are correct. We don't know that fact. That's why I said neither. We're not sure if we got it better yet. It sounds good. Everything sounds good when you're putting it in the ground.
Of course. Of course. So it's growing now, though. You can look out and be like, God, I feel like we're getting somewhere. Or are you like, oh, God.
It's about this high. So it's about this high. You know, it's about 12 inches high at the moment.
Okay. Not quite knee high before the 4th of July, but we're getting there.
Fair enough. And hopefully you're going to, what, we're talking September, October, you harvest?
September. We're hoping we're getting it out 2 weeks earlier because we got it out a bit late last year.
We got it out in Halloween. So
that's late.
So the reason, you know, then you struggle because it doesn't dry off after the frost, you know, as it gets colder.
Yeah. That's definitely
start to really struggle with the bud and stuff.
So,
and then the other thing is with the plants we got supposedly won't go hot because you always have to be careful that it doesn't get much THC.
Of course,
because the U.S. government, that's one thing they do watch is the 0.3%.
So last year, obviously, you brought in hemp from other places to infuse. Let's talk about
the beginning. Yep, we made the bottles out of that. Yeah.
So what kind of products I'm sorry. What kind
of? We started with a CBD with an isolate.
Okay,
was how we started last. You know, in 2018, after we'd gotten our processing license, that's where we started. Was buying an isolate, and then we've gone from there into more broad spectrum. You know, with the terpenes.
Yeah.
And then what we've done since we had our own product was we've actually turned it into hemp tea. Processed it, decarboxylated it, and blended it into different blends.
So right now we got people up there. We're taking the stuff that we did last October, and we have the big bags, white bags of them, and they're just going through and getting rid of the riffraff. And that's what Paul says. We're going to use that stuff in the tea bags. So we have three different options, right? You know, you got the bottles with the isolate.
Yep. So we have bottles. We have sparkling waters, the Spark.
Love those.
Yep. And then we have some tea tins that are packed in sachets. And some of those have CBD powder in them. And then some of them are just blends with the hemp tea.
You know, where did we send the isolate to, Paul?
Colorado.
Did you see it? Did you wave to it as it went by?
I didn't see it. I'm sure it came by. I may have been asleep or not paying attention, but normally I would I would notice that.
Well, it went by there. Went by your house.
Yeah. Oh, I'm right on the interstate usually, just waving at trucks, you know.
All right.
So next year, now that you're growing this, the idea is we're going to use our hemp. We're going to...
Yep.
And you're going to have,
and we are using our extraction and our hemp now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. The idea is that we're, you know, going forward, it's with that we're covering it, from the roots up.
So right. To speak. Control every aspect of it.
Control every aspect.
Almost
I think
every
it's,
aspect.
You know, it's the idea is to really try to, use the same level of skill we use to blend teas to ensure that we get the proper dose, all this sort of stuff into the products.
But someone else is doing the extraction though.
Right. Yeah. Someone else is.
The people out in Colorado. So they're, maybe you'll catch them on the way back.
Yeah, maybe. I'll watch for them. So when they do this extraction and they send it back to you, are you guaranteed, is it the type of thing where, and I'm sorry, I know nothing about this, but it's the type of thing, like say you're making your sparkling water drink where we know if we put X amount in this vat that is going to become sparkling water, it will be so many milligrams of CBD per can basically.
Right. Right.
That's
they're doing the concentrate, right? They're not making the product. You're making the product.
We make the product. All they're doing is they're doing the extraction
right.
and emulsification.
And they basically give you something.
Because it's oil and it won't go into water. So we got to
right.
got to do the magic, the secret sauce.
And then it won't stabilize either. So
But for okay,
if you just to put the oil in the water,
to boil it down. I mean, to a ridiculous metaphor, you're like you add a fourth cup of this to a gallon of this, and there right. you go. Hey, you know what you've got. That's
right, Matt.
So with the teas themselves, you're using a powder, you said, to infuse those.
So we're using a powder as well as we're using the hemp leaf. The hemp leaf doesn't give off
hemp flower.
The flour when you brew it.
Right.
Though you get an effect, it does not give you
much lighter, I'm sure.
CBD number.
Yeah.
Because, you know, due to water solubility and stuff like that. So we generally add in some powder with the leaf to give it a solid number, but
sure.
It's very effective.
So what's the leaf do to the flavor? What's that taste like?
Tastes a little hempy.
Like marijuana.
I would guess.
Tastes a little hempy.
Like, I like that flavor. I kind of look for it in certain, like, when people send me CBD oils and whatnot.
Sure.
I'm fine with ones that are flavored, and I understand not everybody's looking for that, but I kind of feel like the flavor itself is very interesting and adds something yep. to it, and maybe that's from, you know, a lot of practice of trying other types of cannabis, perhaps. I don't know, but
yeah, remember.
I would think that could be a turnoff for some people in tea. Is that something you try to hide or?
Yeah, we've got them both ways, you know, where you can find it, where you do taste it. And then others, you don't taste it at all.
Yeah.
We have one that's called Center, and that one is sort of based a little bit off of our hot cinnamon spice tea, which tastes like an old Red Hot candy.
So tell me about that one real quick. On this, it's like you're using more of the stuff for like to give it the Red Hot flavor and just a right. little bit of the hemp leaves.
Yep. Yeah. And the hemp, you know, it with a lighter dose, you really don't taste it.
Right.
You can taste a little bit, but it's not strong like you're talking about.
And obviously
there are ones that are stronger, but that's the one that's certainly the, you know, one where we just took one of our grape blends and
then you also came up with some other stuff, right?
We did.
What do you got? Moringa?
We got one with moringa. Yeah. Called Deep Sleep.
I don't know what moringa is. What is moringa?
Moringa is a herb.
Okay.
So that's an herb, and you know, it provides a little balance. So some of them would like we have another one that's called Focus, and right. that one has yerba mate, which is caffeinated leaf. Yopan, which is the only caffeinated leaf grown in the U.S., and guayusa and some mint
from Ecuador.
So that particular blend is actually pretty high in caffeine.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, but when added with a little CBD, it gives you that's one we call Focus.
Yeah. And you're riding the wave instead of like
vibrating. Yeah. exactly. So it's a very, people like that one a lot. It's sleep is certainly calm sleep.
Right.
These sort of things are
but Focus is good because it elevates you without taking you up over the top.
Yeah. I had a guy send me some CBD infused coffee, and I drink coffee like it's going out of style. Like I friggin' need it, you know? And I couldn't get to that point where my eyes felt like they were boiling, you know? And I was like, is something wrong? And I was like, no, I feel normal. This is what I'm supposed to feel like. You know, I'm awake.
That's what normal looks like.
Yeah, I'm focused and I don't feel like I'm going to pass through a wall because I'm vibrating too fast, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. So as far as that flavor profile goes, do you treat it the same way that you would treat any other herb that you've worked with? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the, one of the advantages that we have is that we're used to dealing with, you know, a lot of crazy herbs. Kava is another crazy herb.
Okay.
That mellows you out.
Sure.
And, what about chaga?
Ashwagandha and chaga mushroom. So, you know, we're used to dealing with a lot of,
not too used to it though.
Not too used to it.
Well, no, sure.
We're not too used.
It's part of the
way we're used to it. We're sort of used to it, man.
We're sort of used to it. That's what I like to hear my professionals. I'm sort of good at this. Don't worry.
It's a work in progress.
Well, no, I mean, like, right. Yeah. No, that's because there's a tea company, you know, mostly was just tea. But in the last year or two, Paul's been pushing us more and more into wellness. So we put the you'd have to say, you know, if it's hemp bud in there, that's part of the wellness concept.
Right.
We've been working on.
Tell me about the wellness concept. Where did that come from? You're a Marine and you decided, you know what?
Yeah, he wants to get in tight with softer stuff.
You're
like,
that's it. Yeah.
I fought for freedom and now I want to fight the detox.
Obviously, our nootropics are a really big thing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Adaptogenic. Yep, absolutely. So, there's a wide variety of herbs, ashwagandha, all this sort of stuff that people are using and blending to sort of mellow you out, take a little edge off and all that sort of good stuff. And that's, we started as we had these hemp products coming out, then we started adding a few more traditional wellness products.
It was a gateway drug, if you will.
And during this COVID period here, you know, I mean,
it became particularly of use.
Everybody's
look, I could, probably I need it.
It turns out hemp is a gateway drug. There we go. They were right.
That's it. Yeah. Moves on to, after hemp becomes chaga.
There you go. And next thing you know, you're chewing on Uber mate leaves, you know, strung out somewhere, shaking on caffeine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So where did the wellness thing come from, though? Like, where did you find that? Is there something you heard about and said we should try it? Or was it something you experienced in your life?
It's always been considered a wellness beverage.
Yeah.
And we've done other things, you know, chamomile to help you sleep in the old days. And
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Upset stomach. So then my brother here, Paul, he expands. It looks at that side more than me. So Paul.
Well, no, we just sort of, the base was already there.
Right.
And you know, green tea is obviously a very healthy product.
Sure.
For you.
Well known.
We just didn't, I think we didn't play on it very far. And then we've as sort of hemp matured a little bit and we had more of these products. And last year was a little different because we had the powder and we're just sort of, that was the first year of this.
Right.
But then once
we had the hemp to really start blending in these things, then it was like, hey, maybe we need some chaga in there with that.
It was just the next logical thing, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Logical.
Well, it was relatively logical. I don't know if it was completely logical, but
I love you guys because you both do this Columbo thing. We're like, I mean, I'm just in the I don't really know, but you totally know. You guys do, okay?
you gotta be telling us the truth, then.
So tell me about you're gonna harvest next, hopefully early October.
Yep.
And you had mentioned that you were gonna do stuff with like every aspect of the plant, like you're gonna try grounding up the roots and stuff.
We are. We had some roots this year. We did not get very far, but obviously roots is considered also a very medicinal piece of the plant.
Right.
And you know, it's something we tried to sort of get to last year, but roots obviously need to be cleaned quite well.
Of course.
Try to use them later on. So that was a bridge too far. So this year, we hopefully will get there and dry them out and grind it into something and see if we can figure out a use for it.
See but what it's, it does, it's, basically.
It's been fun. It's been a great project, and we're definitely enthusiastic about it. And we're fully involved in all aspects of it. You know, we're out there planning ourselves and all that sort of stuff. So it's been a fun ride so far.
Actually, we just did a video we'll have to send to you towards the planting from last week.
Oh, yeah, please. I'll add that to the post. Definitely.
Yeah, so you'll find that fun.
That'd be a riot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Paul got a little surprise thing with Paul in there, and I don't want to ruin it for you.
It's family friendly.
We don't
want
to ruin it for you.
It's,
you're going to have to watch the video.
This podcast is PG-13, so as long TikTok, as it's family right? friendly.
Yeah, we got a TikTok. Everybody's got a TikTok going. We can't manage to get our TikTok going.
Sure, you and all the K-pop kids, right?
That's it, man.
So real quick, and I'm sorry if I'm dwelling on this root thing too much. Are there other tea plants out there where you literally take the leaves and grind up the root to add to tea?
Not for tea, because it's a perennial.
Right.
Oh,
you don't want to get
come
rid
back.
Of the next year's crop.
That right? makes sense.
But this one is annual.
Ginger, right? Ginger certainly.
But you don't use the top of ginger, to my knowledge. I mean, I don't know. You're from Wisconsin, so you would know more about it.
I don't think you do. I think it's just ginger root.
Yeah.
Like ginseng is the same thing. They really don't use the plant for anything.
So that's what I mean. So that's where we're going to find that out. But I mean,
we'll report back, Matt.
Bill will report back.
I'm real curious about that. That sounds really interesting. So
a crop report. We'll give you a crop report
rather than a crap.
What's the plan going forward for the hemp division? What comes next?
That's the plan, is to get this this harvest through and to see what sort of other products we can come up with. But we've got a couple more sleep teas coming out, and we got one called Boom. It's got a little chocolate and coconut in it.
Ooh,
for you.
That sounds nice.
That's a nice one. That's a nice one. Mike came up with the name. He's a namer.
Dumb question. How do you do the chocolate without it like melting?
That's what I said. Yeah. How do you do that? You, Paul, you came up with
that. I'm not a tea guy, so I have no clue. It's like
I'm a tea guy. I have no clue.
We put some chocolate in the bag, and you know, and it melts into your tea.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
Really?
Put one of those Hershey Kisses in there.
Yeah, sure. Guys, thank you so much. It's been great. I appreciate your time.
All right, Matt.
Thanks,
great.
Matt.
And time, it's going to work. It's going to work. We've got it.
I'm with you, buddy.
And if not, I'll fly out and make it worth your time.
There you go. You can help plant.
That sounds good.
And we'll get you that video.
Excellent. As always, there will be links to Harney & Sons Tea Company in the show notes for this episode. Also, at Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is a better world for all, so you can find a complete written transcript of this episode there too. I just want to say a huge thanks again to Mike and Paul for being so easy and fun to talk to. And thank you to you for downloading this show. And I hope you're enjoying it. And if you've got questions, criticisms, or maybe a subject you want to hear about, call me 402-819-6417. That is the Ministry of Hemp Google Voice line. And you can leave a message there. Ask any question you would like, and I will answer it on this show. Typically, I do that with help from Kit O'Connell. He is the editor-in-chief of ministryofhemp.com, and I've been poking and prodding my buddy Drew to come on one of these Q&A shows, too, so I bet we're going to get her on next time as well. But we love to answer your questions. Please give us a call, and if you don't want to call, email me directly, matt@ministryofhemp.com. That's M-A-T-T. I'm not cool enough to spell with one T. Speaking of ministryofhemp.com, get over there right now and you can check out an article we have up on CBD bath products. It's our 6 best CBD bath bombs and soaks. These are super popular and they are an amazing way to relax after a stressful day. You drop the bath bomb in hot water, the CBD releases into the water, you get in and you soak it in. It is wonderful. Like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, there will also be links, the story about hemp masks and where you can get those. And if that's not enough, you can find us at all your favorite social media sites, /Ministry of Hemp, @Ministry of Hemp. And if you really want to make a difference and help us out, go check us out at Patreon, /Ministry of Hemp, and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. You will get access to podcast extras, to early articles, to bonus articles that don't even make it to the site. And this week's extra is actually going to be a video extra. We talked about it in the interview that I had with the Harney brothers. It's them planting, and it is a pretty hilarious video, but it's also cool just to see how grassroots this organization is. So please head over to Patreon and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. I cannot stress how much it helps us in spreading the good word of hemp. But that's it. We're done here. I got to get out of here, and I like to end the show the same way every time by saying, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.